Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shaar Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. We spoke in the last class about that when a person davens, not only should he be sending his entire word up to the heavens, each word that you utter should you be sending into the heavens, but you should set up all three aspects. If you can somehow get a little bit deeper, so you have to realize that every word you say has three aspects to it. There's three aspects to it, and that is the letters themselves, the nikud, which is the punctuation, the dots at the bottom, the dots and dashes at the bottom, which make the nikud, the pronunciation, and the tamim, which is the trop, which is the signs, mostly at the top, which is how we sing it. When we sing it, when we chant it in the shul, we say with the trop. So that's the tamim, tell us the tune of the Torah. So those are the three aspects. Again, the letter, the pronunciation, and the time, the tune of the thing. And that parallels the three levels of the soul, the nefesh, and the ruach, and the neshama. The nefesh is the soul, the ruach is the spirit, and the neshama is the higher soul. So that's what we call naran, nun resh nun, nefesh, ruach, neshama. And it's that which you have to elevate. It's the soul of the word itself. The soul and the spirit and the time is the thought process of the word. And that also parallels nefesh is the body, and ruach is the physical. Nefesh is the body. The body of the letter is the physical aspect. The pronunciation is the ruach. Is this the way it's spoken? So it parallels speech. Because this is how the word is said, so you can't say it. You can write it if you've only got the letters, but you can't say it unless you've got the pronunciation, unless you have the dots. And then the time would be the tune, but it's also the hidden reason. It's the soul of the letter. The soul of the word is what the deeper meaning of the word is. Okay, that's what we're speaking up to now. So we spoke about the word itself, and then the three aspects of the word, which are the nefesh, ruach, neshama, which is the action, the speech, and the thought, which is the deeper meaning of thought, being the deeper meaning behind that letter, behind the word.
So that's what your kavanah is with.
That's ideally what what you hope to achieve. In saying your words, what you're sending up, what you're hoping to achieve in saying the prayer is you're hoping to send up the soul of the word as well. You know, the three aspects of the word, you want those aspects also to go up. You're focusing on sending up the entire word, not just one entirety, but also the parts of the word, which are that part which is physical, that part which is speech, and that part which is thought. Right? That's also, you have intention for all the parts, for the whole soul of the word, so to speak, the whole body of the word. So it's the same as a human body. Human body, if you think of a person, you think of a person as an entirety. But if you think of the person more deeply, so you know a person's a mind, and he's a heart, and he's a liver.
A person. Is he after one, or does it happen to matter?
So you have intention. The intention should be that you want to send up the entire word in its entirety. So if you can focus on the fact that there are these different aspects and you want to send up all those aspects, that's the ideal. That's the ideal. Okay, now there's a further aspect, because we spoke about the three levels of the soul. There's a fourth level, which we're going to see right now. And he says as follows, Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. Amnam oid yesh le'loiko milim. But there's still to Hashem other aspects, lifnei, which stand before HaOved Elokim the Kedusha, someone who stands before Hashem in holiness. The person comes before Hashem to pray. So we're told you have to picture yourself as if you're standing in front of Hashem, literally. You're standing in His presence before His heavenly throne, and you're speaking to Hashem. Your mom is speaking to Hashem. That's what you have to say. So someone who's coming with that approach, there's another aspect, the Bechina Yoseh Pratis, which is even something even more specific. Something that's more detailed, something that's more specific, something that's another point, that's a deeper point, which is something more specific to the word. Ubechinus shreirish haneshoma, and that is the root of the soul. And as we spoke about nefesh ruach neshoma, neshoma is the highest, and then that's the soul, the neshoma, and it has a root, right, which is the neshoma of the neshoma. The soul itself has a soul, the soul of the soul. Now that's the root of the neshama. That's the highest aspect. We had it before. We spoke about that before, if you remember, quite a while ago. So we spoke about neshama, and then we spoke about the neshama of the neshama, which is even a higher aspect, a more hidden aspect, which is called the root of the soul. That's the life force of the neshama is its neshama. on its source, its root. Shoresh Hashama he nishmosa v'nishmosa, the soul of the soul, hanizka v'zoya, which is spoken about in the Zoya, the nikris chayo. It's called chayo. Chayo means the life force. Chayo, because actually the soul is not three, it's actually five. There's nefesh, ruach, neshoma, and then chayo yechido. So going up from down, upwards, so you've got from the lowest, nefesh is the lowest, then ruach is higher, then neshoma, then there's the chayo, which is the neshoma of the neshoma. It's called the chayo. Chayo means the life force, and then yechida, and then we have yechida, that's the highest of them all, and that's the yechida is the language of oneness. It's from Hashem's oneness. Hashem's very own oneness. Hashem's oneness is something that's very lofty concept, because Hashem's oneness is an indivisible oneness. It's something that we really can't grasp at all. Hashem is an absolute simplistic one. All the genius of the world comes from Hashem, but He Himself is one. Not one like a pair of shoes is one, because a pair of shoes is one pair of shoes, but it's still made up of two shoes. And not one like a person's body is one, because a person is made up of all different limbs. There's the legs, there's the torso, there's the arms, there's the head, there's the ears, there's the eyes. It's a person, you say one person, but one person is made up of many different parts. Hashem is a oneness that's a total oneness. There are no parts to Hashem. However, we can't understand that really. We can't really understand. But He's a total oneness, and He's indivisible. You see, if I have a pencil, I can cut it in half, and I have two half pencils. Hashem is totally indivisible. He's the oneness of all oneness. That's the absolute essence of all creation. That's called one. That's what we believe, and that's what we declare when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. So this is the higher part. The highest part of the soul is linked to this concept of oneness, and that's Yechidu, which we really don't know what that is. When we stand in prayer in front of Hashem, we stand in front of a certain revelation, a certain aspect that He reveals. It's not Him Himself, it's like a mask that He wears. It's a mask that He wears that we can somehow relate to Him. We can't relate to Hashem Himself. Even the angels themselves can't relate to Hashem Himself. But He creates these masks with through which His light comes through, and therefore you can see something of Him. Right? Let's say you can't see the king, but you can see the shadow of the king. That sort of thing. You know, there's some manifestation of the king's presence that we see, and therefore we picture it as a throne. It's one of the images that we hold. It's not really a throne. It's something that's intangible. It's not a physical throne. It's not a chair. It's something intangible. It's something that's... But we create in our mind images. We think of... We sort of focus on images of what it could be or what it should look like. And we have images... We use analogies. There's a midrash that says, how did Hashem appear to the Jews at the splitting of the sea, the splitting of the Yam Suf, when Hashem split open the sea and the Jews went through and the Egyptians were drowned? So they saw a vision of Hashem. So the Midrash says, and what sort of vision did they see? So the Midrash says they saw the vision of a warrior with a spear, with a helmet. That's the vision of Hashem. And the Midrash says, and when they saw Hashem, when they received the Torah at Sinai, it was also a vision of Hashem. What sort of vision did they see? They said they saw a vision of an elderly rabbi with a long white beard. So it's different visions, which are not, neither of them is a true representation of Hashem, but it's a certain, because Hashem relates to us in a certain way, so we attach that attribute to Him. When we say Hashem is kind to us, because He's kind, He does kindness to us, we see Him as being kind. It's not really what Hashem is, it's just an aspect that He uses. It's one of His tools, His kindness, one of His attributes that He adopts. Is kindness. He treats us with kindness. He treats us with compassion. He treats us with mercy. Right? He's patient with us. These are attributes Hashem, so to speak, uses, and that's what we know of Him. We know of Him what we see of Him. If let's say you received a gift in the mail from an anonymous friend, sends you a food parcel, sends you whatever, chocolates and sweets from somewhere over the oceans. So that's what you know of Him. What do you know of Him? What's in the packet? Maybe you see the handwriting. You say, oh, He's got this nice handwriting. But you don't really know who it is. You only know what you receive. So we don't really know Hashem, but we know what He gives us in our lives. But we try to grasp as much as possible, especially through the Torah. He's given us the Torah. The ultimate way to grasp Hashem is through Torah. But also through prayer and also through thought, thinking, we get some sort of appreciation of Hashem, some sort of a grasp of Hashem. Even though we see certain aspects of Hashem. So now this is This is a fourth level that we discussed. We spoke before how you should see the aspect of the word, which is the letters and the pronunciation and the trop. But we should realize that there's a soul to all that. There's a life force to that word, that letter, to those letters. And that is what we call chaya, the life force of the word, which is the soul of the soul. It's the inner hidden meaning of the word. Later on in chapter 4, he speaks about that when some people make a mistake when they learn Torah, so they only see the outer, they see the meaning of the Torah, they just see the simple meaning of the Torah, the outer. So he calls it the outer garb, the outer garment. He sees the outer garment of the Torah. So he sees the stories like they are, the stories of the Chumash, or he sees the halacha as it is. The halacha speaks about what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. All that's called the outer garb. Behind that outer garb is the inner, is the neshama of the Torah. And there's the hidden meanings of the Torah, the hidden intentions of the Torah, which is a much higher level of study, right? When you somehow peel the outer shell off and you see deeper. So that's, this depth is also something we should have intention for, and this is what we call chaya. This is the fourth level, going from the bottom and up. But Adam Harishon Hesiga. Adam Harishon was able to grasp this level. He was unique, and he was able to grasp this fourth level that's called the Neshama, the Bechinas HaYechido, and to the fifth one, the highest one, the Yechido, HaNichlelesbo, which is included in it, because that's the soul of the soul of the soul, which is Yechido. And that's the fifth aspect that's super, super high. Because all the time we speak about four worlds, and then we speak about something that's beyond that. It's called Adam Kadmoin. That's like a fifth world. If you think of the name of Hashem, that's how they describe it, right? Let's think of the name of Hashem. So you've got Yud, K, Vav, K, the letters. So the last three letters, Hey, Vav, Hey, which is, by the way, Hoive, means reality. Hoive, what is? The present. Hoive is the present, what there is. That's the present. You put a Yud in front of that, that represents the soul of the soul. So that's the life force of the reality, which is Hoive. The life force of the reality is the Yud. And then you've got the fifth aspect, which is described as being the point of the Yud. Like the Yud has got like a little spitz at the top. It's got a little point at the top of the Yud, like a little crown. So that's hints to the highest level, which is this Yechida. Adam Harishon was able to grasp Chaya and the Yechida, which is the soul of that level, which is included in it. Soid Oilam Adam Kadmo, right, which is the secret of the world of Adam Kadmon, which is the very, very highest spiritual world. It's called Adam Kadmon. Kamavua Lemevin, as it's explained to those who understand it, Beitz Chaim, in the Sefer Eitz Chaim, Sof Shamoichin, at the end of Shamoichin. Sha'odam Rishon Zocher Bechinas Chaya Echido Amitim. That the first man, Adam Rishon, merited the concepts of Chai, the life force, and Yechida, the oneness, Amitim, in truth, and Koima Ma'ikori, in their place, not just the shining that they shine, because you have something that's very a powerful light which radiates all over. Not just the radiation of these sources, but the source itself. He actually merited to grasp it, to understand it. He could understand it, he could grasp the concept. That's how high he was. He says, look in the sources. Reish Gilgulim also is part of the eighth of the writings of the Arizal. Now the main intention in telling us this, that the earth produce a living soul. In the creation of man was said that let the earth produce a living soul. And I was talking about the creation of man. And it uses the word chaya there, this fourth level, the soul of the soul. I feel a nafshu shel Adam Harishon, right, which is included even in the soul of Adam Harishon. The soul of Adam Harishon was able to get to the soul of the soul. I feel a nafshu shel Adam Harishon. I feel a nafshu shel Mashiach. And Mashiach also will be able to get to this very high level, the soul of the soul. He'll also be able to grasp it somewhat. Ki zoy sabachina, he's so Knesset Israel, because this soul of the soul, this concept, is the secret of Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael means the totality of Israel as a people. The Knesset Yisrael, all of the souls together, the entire Jewish people, who work as a body. There's a body, there's the body of the Jewish people. But Jewish people is like, in totality, is like a body of the Jewish people. And that's called the Knesset Yisrael. That's that force which is the Jewish people in its totality, that life force. So that represents Chayor. this soul of the soul, this fourth level. And this is what he was able to grasp. Right? Which is also the root of the fundamental of dust. Like we know that the world is created with four elements, dust and water and earth and air and fire. Right? The four elements. Dust or earth and air and water and sorry, earth, water, air and fire. So therefore dust is the starting. That's where all the life force comes from, the dust. All animals come from the dust. Our bodies come from the dust, from the earth. And there's the root of the earth, so to speak. The yosoid of the afa, the root of the earth, is also this parallel to this fourth level of it would be a fifth level, but I think he's speaking about it as being the chaya, the life force that comes from the earth, this fourth level. Rashiroshim kadmoin, early roots, avan dekulun almin, the source of all of the worlds. The source of all the worlds is this life force. Aniska bezoi, which is mentioned in the Zohar. Ein Zohar Shmois, see in the Zohar in Shmois of Parsha Shlach. Rosa dichsiv toitza aret nefesh chaya. So the Zohar says this is the secret of that the earth produce a living soul, nefesh chaya, that the life force. And Parsha Shmini, it's called nefesh chaya, all the living souls, all of the living souls that came out from the earth. This is from the source of all life, the soul of the soul. Ein Sof Parsha Eschanan, Masnis, and also other sources. Ein Ramban, Pasuk Nasei Odom. And he brings many, many sources. You can check it up. Kiruach Hashem Dibe Bo, the Spirit of Hashem spoke through him. There was a connection to Hashem himself. Bechen Haya Odom Arishon Muchan Lichyo Yisrael Olam, and that's why Adam Arishon was ready to live eternally. Adam Arishon, had he not sinned, would have lived eternally. He was on such a high level, he was connected to such a high source of life, that was a source of life that would never lose. That if you attached to that source of life, you could never lose your life. So therefore, Adam Arishon, in potential, had he not sinned, he would have lived forever. Ki achochma techaye baleho. And that's a verse in Koheles. It says that wisdom gives life to the one who owns it. Wisdom gives life to the one who possesses it. If you possess wisdom, you have wisdom itself is a source of life. So chokhmah, and that's a hint to the very highest level, which is called chokhmah, from wisdom. Hashem bechokhmah yosad aretz. Hashem created the world from chokhmah. That was an interesting thing. I heard from a certain rav that explained that the world now accepts that all matter comes from energy. It's an accepted thing. Matter comes from energy. And he asked the question, well, where does energy come from? So he wanted to answer that energy comes from chokhmah. Wisdom produces energy. Wisdom generates energy. Wisdom generates energy. And it's the upper wisdom. So chokhmah, this is also reflected in this verse, that wisdom, techaye, gives life to the one who possesses it. Wisdom gives life to the one who possesses wisdom. And that's the word techaye, it's the source of life. That's this concept of chaya, this fourth level, the soul of the soul. The chaya is hinted to in this verse. It's the wisdom that gives life to its owner. So he was able to access that wisdom, and he could have lived forever because he had access. He had the life potion. He had the key to life. The elixir of life was the fact that he was linked to this highest of world. He would have lived forever. And that's what's called life, the life source there. And that's what the verse was referring to when it said that the earth produced a living soul, a soul that's connected to the source of life. However, when he sinned, he lost that connection. His sin caused him to lose that connection. He lost it. He lost it. He had it and he lost it. Like someone says, I understood it, but now I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot. I chapped the idea and now I've lost it. So he had it. He was attached to that wisdom, but because he dropped down to sin, so therefore he lost that upper, that higher appreciation, that higher grasp. With his sin, it was removed from him. And he quotes all other sources that bring this idea. And from then, from the time of Adam HaRishon, no other person was able to merit this very high level while still in this world. After a person leaves his body and goes up to upper worlds, then he can grasp these things. But while you're in this world, in your physical body, no man was able to grasp it outside of Adam HaRishon. V'chanoich, there was a tzaddik who did get to this level, Chanoch. It says about Chanoch that Hashem took him from this world. He died before his time. He was on a very high level also. Chanoch she'egia lezoi samadrei. Chanoch, yes, who also reached the level of Adam HaRishon. The Yorish Malosu shel Adam HaRishon. He was able to inherit, so to speak, the level of Adam HaRishon, as it's written in the Zohar Chodesh, Truma, Sham, Beshir Shirim, also brings different sources, Ayin Sham, Behe Mehemne, Kedoshim, Begim, Masnis, and Seif Parshas, the Eschanan, also it's a Brisa, right? It brings a number of sources that Chanuk got to the level of Adam HaRishon, Kamoshe Pirsh Arizal, Parshas Breshis, Medrush Adam HaRishon, as Arizal explains over there, a whole list of sources he brings. He reached such a high level that the world could no longer carry him. He no longer fitted in this world. He reached such a high level he just couldn't live in this world anymore. He was just too high for this world. He was forced to leave this world. He just couldn't. The world couldn't tolerate having someone so high in this world, and he had to leave the world. Also, Eliyahu and Novi also got to a very, very high spiritual level. Nistalik Mizevilam, he also left the world. Eliyahu and Novi left the world alive. He left in a chariot of fire, whatever that means. In a chariot of fire, he left this world. He didn't die. He just left this world with his whole body, his whole self, just left this world. So Nistalik Minoilam, Kishisik Tasm Uisa Hazoris Ilov, when he reached some of that upper light, that upper sheen, that upper shining, he also grasped some part of it, and that also took him up. Took him up and out of this world. Also, he brings more sources. Perikutes Gilgulim, chapter 19, Guduli, and the Zohar VeYigash. Amalei Kutshebrichu, and he's quoting another Zohar. Amalei Kutshebrichu, Hashem had said to him, "Amalei Yochil Mizbelach." The world cannot hold you anymore. The world cannot cater to you anymore. You can't live in the world anymore. In Bnei Nasha, you can't live amongst regular people. Right, you can't live in this world, and you have to live the world. You have to leave the world. Amalu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to, I think it's to Eliyahu, Ma'ilam eni yechol lesov lecho. The world can no longer tolerate you. It can't carry you anymore. Shetimtzeim bnei adam, that you should be living amongst people. Ve'anachnu mekavim la'siga achat tchiyah. And we hope also to reach this level after tchiyah sameisim. After the soul, after our bodies are resurrected. Right, after, so to speak, the end of this world, when the world will be resurrected, and then those that die will come back to life. They'll be on a much higher level, and then we also hope in that higher state that we'll be in after Tchias HaMesim, that we'll also be able to grasp this level. Shiyari aleinu ruach mimarom, that they will shine down on us a spirit from the heavens. Hu bechinas shoyus hamachshav shel adam, and this is the idea of this root, this, or the source of thought of a person. As what's a person's highest capacity is thought. That's the highest part of us, is thought. Thought is higher than action, and it's higher than speech. Action is just the physical body does action. Speech is more sophisticated than action. And thought is the highest. Sometimes you can think things that you can't even say them, because the thought is much higher. So this level, this fourth level, the soul of the soul, is the source of thought. Now, where do thoughts come from? So if you look in the cartoons, so then they draw a little light bulb above the person's head, right? The light bulb goes on and he gets an idea. Where did he get the idea? Popped into my head. An idea popped into him. Where is he drawing it from? When you draw ideas, when a person sits and thinks, and he gets certain ideas come into his head. He has a problem and he needs to solve it. So he sits quietly and he thinks. And he sits, right? And he does, and it actually comes to him. Or he sleeps on it. You heard of that? He says, "I can't solve this problem." He says, "I'm going to sleep. I'll sleep on it." In the morning, suddenly he's got it. Where did it come from? So that's called the source of thought. This is this fourth area that's called Chaya, the life force. It's the source of thought. Thoughts draw down, also are drawing down lights from higher worlds. They're drawing down some sort of inspiration from higher worlds. So that's called the root of thought of a person. Because the whole thought, the whole idea of thought, is when you attach your thought to think about some sort of subject. Right? Again, if you have a problem and you don't know how to solve it, so you focus on it. You put your thoughts on that problem. So to speak, you attach your thought to that issue. You say, now I'm just going to think about this issue, and I'm going to think about nothing else. I'm going to be thinking about this issue. There's a beautiful story of Chaim Shmulevitz, Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Yeshivas Mir. So Yeshivas Mir, you know, sort of like a last stop for older Bochrim. You know, there's something, you know, Bochrim who never managed to get married. And Yeshivas Mir, like, it's a catch-all, you know, it's a place, it's so varied there. There's so many students there, thousands of students there. There's so many different types there. Anyone feels at home there. Anyone can feel at home. And therefore, you have these older Bochrim who never got married, and they also end up in this yeshiva. So Chaim Shmulevitz was the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir in Eretz Yisrael. So he was once happened. He was making a wedding for his youngest son, and on the day of the wedding, he called over one of the older bochrim, and he said to him, "You know, today is a very happy day for me. I'm marrying my youngest son." He said, "But I want you to know, when I'm under the chuppah with my son and the wedding ceremony is going on, I'm going to be thinking about you." That's the story. I'm going to be thinking about you. As I'm going to attach my thoughts to you, I'm looking for you also to find your, you know, find your solution to your problem. I'm going to be thinking about you. So there's an idea of thinking about something. You attach your thoughts to something. That something is the root of the thoughts. That's basically what you're attaching yourself. When one attaches his thoughts to think about a certain subject, and that's like the soul of the thought. The soul of Hashem gives them insight, gives them understanding. Hashem gives understanding. Now, if you say in the daily davening, you bestow on people, you kindly bestow on us knowledge. You bestow on us the ability to know things and to understand things. So that, where does that come from? It comes from Hashem. And then that thought is grasped by the person who's thinking. The thinker receives the thought. However, the actual source, you know, that source where the thoughts come from, right, where all the thoughts come from, something that's totally hidden. We never get to see the source. The source sends us the thoughts, like this friend who's sending you gifts, food parcels, he's sending you gifts. You never see him, you just see the gift. So therefore also the thoughts come down from the source, but the source itself we never see. We never get to see the source. It's totally hidden. The person himself can't grasp where it's coming from. You know that a thought came to you, but you don't know where it came from. You suddenly got it. You didn't have it before. Now you've got it. It suddenly come to you, but you don't know where you got it from. Where it comes from. And this is the idea of the soul of the soul of the soul, or the root of the soul. And this is the same idea, this level that we call chayah. Now this hidden concept, this hidden place, this hidden source, this is the linking together of the letters of the word. Now this is also something we don't know what it means. It's something also the hidden meaning of the words. Each letter has its outer aspect, which is the letter itself, and then the letters themselves have their spiritual force, their spiritual energy. Each letter has a different energy. And we have 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, but each letter is a little bit different. It has a different energy, it has a different force, it has a different strength to it. So these letters combine to make words. So therefore the forces behind the letters are also combining to create different energies. And these energies join together. It's the hidden energy behind the word. That's the joining of the letters, the hidden meaning of the letters, which is the root of the soul of the letters, the koach ruchani yoseihem, and the force of the spirituality in its upper root. So this is what we're talking about. When we're focusing on the words, we're not just focusing on the letters and on the pronunciation and on the tune, but we're focusing also on a hidden force which lies at the soul of the words, the soul of the letters, which lies behind it, which is its life force of the word. So we're also focusing on that. When we're sending our words of prayer to the heavens, we're also focusing on the soul of the letters of the word. The Acha Hatchio. And after the resurrection of the dead, when we will come back after we resurrected, Nisboinen Bina, Besoyet Sidre, Tzerufa Oisius, then we'll have the ability to learn and to understand the order of the letters. And then we'll be able to understand Torah at a much, much deeper level, and how the letters combine together, different energies of the different letters combine together, Beshoyesh Kedushosim at their holy root, the holiness of their root. Vush Amu Bezoya, and this is what it says in the Zoya Ba'al Oischo, Raisa Hulei Almed Osi Zimdi Stakla Binishmosa de Raisa. Right? In the world to come, so that it'll be ready for us to look into the soul of the soul. Then we'll be able to have access to this much, much higher Torah. And we'll be able to look at the Torah in terms of the soul of the soul of the Torah. And this is also the idea of this root of the souls of Klal Yisrael, which we said before was Knesset Israel, the assembly of Israel, the whole totality of Israel as a spiritual force, Israel is a, like a body, as a spiritual force. That's the root of the souls. Malchus Atzilus, which is called the aspect of Malchus, kingship of the highest world, Atzilus, the highest world of the four worlds. The Zos Nikris Knesset Israel, which is called the assembly of Israel. Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18. Behine. And now, Achashikva Hugal Ustura Leitfilos. After a person has already got his prayer arranged, a person comes to daven, he knows what he's doing. He's basically been davening for a while. And he knows what he's saying, he knows what he's going to say. And he comes to daven. Right? And he comes and he prepares himself, he stands before Hashem to daven the Shmon Esrei. Biskashros Agimel Bechinos. And he's ready to connect together the three aspects of his nefesh, ruach, neshama, of his, right, the nefesh and the ruach and neshama, shebichlalus napsha, which is the totality of himself. He's ready to give over his whole self. This is what we said before, that the tefillah has to be chol nafshecha, with your whole self. You have to give your whole self over to the prayer. So that's your physicality, it's your emotions, it's your ruach, your words, and your neshama, your thoughts. He's prepared to give over his whole self into the prayer. And the tools he's going to be using are the letters and the pronunciation and the tune of the letters, which are the chol tzeh, which exist in every single word. Moshe Nizbar Le'el, that we explained before in chapter 16. So this will empower him. All of this adds power with the purity of his thought and his intention. He's coming to talk to Hashem, he's coming to daven to Hashem, and that intention, and those thoughts empower his prayer. It makes his prayer very powerful. That all three aspects of his self, of his soul, and of the three aspects of the words that he says, are able to cling. They're able to attach themselves, b'chinas nishmosa l'nishmosa, to the soul of the soul, which is this upper force, this hidden force. They're attaching themselves to this higher hidden force, which is the source of all life, the life force. Shushosh nishmosa, which is, as we said before, the root of the soul. And that tzirufa oisiyos, through the power of the words, the hidden power of the words, shelateva, of the words that he utters, b'shosh kdushosim elyon, with the upper holy root. Upper holy root of where the words are coming from. Okay, she's dabeg b'zoi samadreg, and when a person clings to this level, he's able to pray at such a level, as yuchal lechashek ilo eino bo'ilam klal. He can start thinking of himself as if he's not in the world anymore. He forgets that he's in this world. His mind is in such a high place, it's like his body ceases to exist, in a sense. In a sense, it's like he's not in the world anymore. Mimeli's batal be'einav mikol v'kol. It's like he ceases to exist. It's like his body is no longer. It's like he's no longer in this world. Ki bechina zois hina lemimadreis odom ato. Because this is a level, and this is a sort of a framework which is way beyond his present level. Moshe Kasavti Le'el, as we wrote before, v'yichol atzma b'shoish nishmosa, and he includes himself in the soul of his soul. So to speak, he attaches himself to the soul of his soul, b'chlal shoish elyon, right? Included, right? B'chlal, to be included in the root, or this upper root, of Klal Nishmas Yisrael. He's, so to speak, he attaches himself to Knesset Yisrael. This root of this root, he's like he's there. He's put by putting his thoughts there as if he himself is there. V'lechein, and therefore, Kavu Anshe Knesset Gedoy L'Loy Makridim Hascholas Tfilas Hamida, and therefore our sages, when they fixed the prayer for us, the Shmon Esrei, Anshe Knesset Gedoy L'Loy, when they authored the prayer for us, they said that before we start saying the Shmon Esrei, just before we sang the start davening Shmon Esrei, we should say the verse Hashem Sfasai Tivtach, Hashem open my lips. We have to say that pasuk before we start davening. Hashem open my lips. Because someone who does manage to daven at this very much very high level, as we spoke about before, to get to Knesset Israel, to the soul of the soul, the Esat Tfilu, when he's davening, so putting his thoughts over there, tying his thoughts to this upper source, Yuchalios Gufo Ke'ev and Daimon. It could turn his body into a statue, like a rock. And his thoughts are in such a high place, it's almost like his body is inanimate. It's like his body's become a rock, because his thoughts are way up there. And it's like his thoughts have left his body. And therefore, his body could become like just like a stone rock. And therefore, he's like a mute who can't open his mouth. Your whole thoughts are in such a high place, they've left your body, and your body becomes like a rock. And he can't talk. Rocks don't talk. Actually, and that's why we ask at the beginning of our prayer, Hashem, open my lips that I can say your praises. Help me. Help me to open my lips. Help my body to go together with my thoughts, that I shouldn't leave my body behind. Open my lips that I should say your prayer. Hashem svasai tiftach. Open my lips. Hashem yisbar hiftach svasav ledabe lefonim. Hashem should open his lips that he should be able to speak before Hashem. Tevus atfila, the words of the the words of the prayer. Lechein omasham, the name Aleph Dalet, Atnus. So that posuk, when he asks Hashem to open his lips, he uses the name Aleph Dalet, which refers, right? We know the different names refer to different things. So the name Aleph Dalet, the name Adnus, Nafka, Shehu Soid Knesset Yisrael. The name Adnus, Lord, is refers basically to the Lord of Knesset Yisrael, of the Assembly of Israel, so, which is that higher level. So he's just talking to that higher level, which he's attaching himself to, and he's asking that higher level, that Adnus, the name Adnus, to open his lips that his body can participate in the prayer, just that his thoughts shouldn't fly away from his body. And there's much talk about this verse. There's much talk about this verse that we say. It's in Eitz Chaim, speaks about this verse we say before the prayer. In the Gemoin Brochas, they ask a question. Right, we know that we have to, the Brochas of Krishma end with Goal Yisrael. Hashem redeems Israel, and that's, there's a special segula. If you say Geula Letfila, you say Mech, you put the praise of Hashem that He redeemed Israel from Egypt, and you say that just before prayer, so that's that adds much power to your prayer. Right? Your prayers are answered in the merit. You know, so you give praise to Hashem that He took us out of Egypt, and straight after saying that praise, Goal Yisrael, we're going straight into the Shemoneh Esrei. So it's like you praise the king, and because you're praising the king, he comes out to see you. Because you're praising him, so he comes out to accept your praise, your acknowledgement. You come to acknowledge him. You're coming to congratulate him, so to speak. You're coming to thank him and to acknowledge him and praise him. So Hashem, so to speak, comes out to you, and then you make your request. So that's called attaching gula to tefillah. Right? That's how the broch of Shema always has to be straight after tefillah. So the Gemara asks in brochas, then how can we say Hashem's Svasai Tiftach? Isn't that a change of subject? Isn't that an interruption? That pasuk that was attached to the Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem's Svasai Tiftach, isn't that a break between the Shemoneh Esrei, between the brochas of Shema, the Gaal Yisrael, and the Shemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara says, no, that pasuk is part of the prayer. It's like it's an elongation of the prayer. Tefillah Richta. It's an elongation of the prayer. It's part of the prayer. And what we're explaining makes sense now, because that's necessary for the prayer. You ask Hashem should open my lips so that my whole body should participate in the prayer. I should be able to say your words. So that's part of the prayer. It's essential for the prayer. It's something that the prayer needs. So therefore, that's also hinted to in the Gemara when it says that verse, Shuka Tefillah Richta, is an elongation of the prayer. Mzesh Amru Chazal, Amis Palel, Tzarek Sheyitein Libre Lemana. And that's what it says, that when a person doves, he should send his heart to the heavens. He put his heart in the heavens. His thoughts, his heart, his intentions, all should be lemala, to the heavens. Okay, Shepesh Rabbeinu Yoina, as Rabbeinu Yoina explains, also about prayer, the Kain Hasidim Arishonim, also we spoke about the early pious, about the pious, the early tzaddikim, the very early tzaddikim, the Gemara speaks about them. Shayushem Sha'achas, they would wait a full hour before they davened. They prepared themselves 1 hour before they davened. And also that we spoke about how after they davened, they needed another hour to come back to this world. So therefore, it's also this idea of going up to a very high place. Kadesh Yichavnas Libam Lamokim, so that their thoughts can be to the right place. They're intending a certain, they want to take their thoughts to a certain place, so therefore they need preparation, mental preparation to reach that place. To conclude Shar Beis, we have one final piece that goes as follows. What he's going to describe here is the four parts of prayer. We've spoken about the four parts of the soul, which is Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and the Neshama of the Neshama. And we've spoken four parts of the words that we speak. And this parallels the four parts of prayer. Now, the four parts of prayer, till we get to the climax of prayer. So the four parts of the prayer is the Korbanos, the first part of the service, before the Psukha de Zimra. So that's when people say Brochas. And they say, some people say, the sort of a shortened version of the sacrifice of the korbanos. Some say the whole thing, but it's the korbanos. That's the first world. That's number one. From there, we move on to Psukah de Zimra, which is from Bolch Shamar until Ishtabach. That's a higher world. And then from there, we go into the brochas of Krishma, which is the two brochas before Krishma, plus Shema, and the brocha after Krishma. That's the third world. And then we get to the climax, which is the Shemoneh Esrei, which is the highest dveikus. It's the highest clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that parallels also the four worlds, from low world to higher world. So that's Asiya, as the lowest world is called the world of doing. Then there's Yetzirah, the world of formation. Higher than that is the world of Bria, creation. And the highest world is called Atzilus. Atzilus from the word Eitzel, that world which is closest to Hashem. Right, the world of emanation. That's how they translate it. Let's just read this inside. And when one says the Kabonis, which is the first part of the morning service, Ad Bolch Shaman, till the Bolch Shaman, until before the second section, Yichavin, one should have intention, Lalo is called Bechinas Nefoshes Dasya. He should have intention to elevate all of the souls. Right, the lowest part of the soul is Nefesh, so the Nefesh links to the lowest world, which is Asiya. So you should have intention to elevate the soul, the Nefesh, the Nefoshes of Asiya. Shupnimius Asiya, the Nefosh, the souls of Asiya, which is the inner part of Asiya, which is the deeper part of Asiya. It's the soul of the world of Asiya. Lechalalam, and to include them, to elevate them in your saying of your Kabbonis, of your saying of this first part of the prayer, to include them in the Ruchus of Yetzirah. Ruchus, the Ruach is the second part of the soul, and it's next level up. And in the world of Yetzirah, which is the second world up. Right? And therefore you should be elevating the first part. In saying the Kabbonis, you're now elevating that you carry those spirits, that spirit, that intention, that energy, that force of yourself, that part of your personality, you carry it over and into the next world, which is that you conclude then with the spirits, the Ruchus of Yetzirah, the world of Yetzirah, which is the second world up. And also your own personal Nefesh. You know, so there's the world and there's you. There's you and your world. So you are in your world. So there's the Nefesh of you and there's the Nefesh of the worlds in which we reside. So you're going to include your own Nefesh together with the Nefesh of the world of Asiya. And all of that you're going to include with the world of the next world up, which is Yetzirah. You're going to sort of bring over all of the inspiration you felt in the first part of the prayer, you're going to bring it over into the second part of the prayer. The kashram beruchem, to connect it all with ruach, which is the next level up. Umi boruch shema ad brochus krishma, and then the whole second part from boruch shema up to brochus krishma, and others up to yishtabach. Yichlol gam nafshin daasiya varuchus yetzirah. Then you're going to take the nefoshes of the world of yetzirah and the ruches of the second world yetzirah. You're going to take all that up. Right, v'gam bechinas nafshei v'ruchei b'nishmosim debria, and also the nefesh and the ruach of the souls of Bria, and you're going to elevate that all up to the third world, right, which is the world of neshama. V'chas krishma ad amid, and then in the third world, which is the brachos of krishma, until the amid, until you get to the shmonesrei, lichlol v'yale kol naran, then you will elevate and include all of the nefesh, ruach, neshama of Bria Yetziah Asiya, of the world of Bria Yetziah Asiya, the Nefesh Ruach Neshama Shelo, and his own personal soul, Nefesh Ruach Neshama of himself, Imahim together, his own Nefesh Ruach Neshama, together with the Nefesh Ruach Neshama of the worlds that he just passed through in saying these prayers, because when he was in the world of Korbanos, so he was in the world of Asiya. When he was saying Pesukei Dezimah, he was in the world of Yetzirah, etc. So he brings the souls of those worlds, his own soul together with them, lecholelam yachad, and to include them all, v'shoresh ha-neshama, the root of the neshama, being the neshama of the neshama, the root of the neshama, v'shoresh ha-knesia shel klal neshamas Yisrael, and the shoresh, the root, or the soul, of the assembly of all of the neshamas of klal Yisrael. Because the neshama, we also say, parallels the neshama of klal Yisrael. The whole of klal Yisrael, as a whole, is in a sense the parallel of the individual. I mentioned before, there's a teaching that says that the individual and the community are like two drops of water. They're really identical. So therefore, but you associate yourself with the community. You daven not only as an individual, you daven as a member of the community, and therefore what you're doing for yourself, you're doing for the entire community of Israel. Right? And that's why the whole davening is in the plural. You're not just asking for yourself, you're asking for the Jewish people. And that's the highest level, the highest connection is the Amid, is the Shemoneh Esrei, when all elements of the soul are elevated to that, and then there's hopefully some sort of connection with the Neshama, which is the closest we can get to knowing Hashem. Right? That's something that's very, very high for us. That's about as close as we can get to Hashem if we have that Dveikus in the Shemoneh Esrei, if we can dive in the Shemoneh Esrei with a with a proper intention, with a proper seriousness, with a proper kavana, concentration, etc. Concentration, focus, etc. Okay, with that we finish Shaar Beis, the second gate of Nefesh HaChayim.